Look at about three people and tell them, you are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed, blessed, blessed. Your name's in the book. Amen. Highly favored of God. We'll turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and then over to Joshua chapter 24. Tonight, we're continuing our series on the theme that Pastor Rick and I discussed back in April on I Choose. Yes. And I thought about the choices that you make in life. The choices that you make in life, they will determine the course of your life. Right now, you are the sum total of the choices that you have made in life. And that's why I have chosen the subject matter that I'm preaching on. I choose prayer. And I choose prayer because I want to get God involved in everything I do in my life. I don't want to go off like I did as a sinner and make my decisions and not include God in what God wants to do in my life. There's a good will, a perfect will, an acceptable will. I want to be in God's perfect will. As far as I know, I am. Hallelujah. Sometimes I have to ask myself, is this from you, God, or is this something I'm fighting from the enemy? If it's from the devil, I just buckle down, praise God. And I told him, I said, you're crazy to mess with me like this, because when I come up, I'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. If you're going to do warfare, learn something from it, gather some principles, and come up stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might. But I want God involved in all the decisions of my life. And if you would put Psalms 25, verse 1 up there, I don't even know how, where this thing will go. This is my definition of prayer right here. The psalmist cries out in Psalms 25 and 1. He says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. That means I'm going to turn my human will, all of my emotions, and my mind, I'm going to set it on you. The mind, the will, and the emotions. With the mind, man thinks. With the willpower, you decide. And with the emotions, you react to everything that's going on around you. So God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And if you will seek God, you will find him. And when you find God, you will find direction. I promise you that. You will find direction. So what is prayer? Prayer is simply lifting up your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions to God. It's not a one-way dialogue where I just say, God, give me this, give me that. Lord, help this person. Lord, help that person. No, I've got to stop and read the word sometimes. And I've got to listen to the scriptures I already know and let God talk to me. As I'm praying tonight that God will talk to us, and we're using in this series, this text here, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Your decisions in life, they not only affect you, they are generational decisions. I choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Now let's look at Joshua 24, verse 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now they've been serving all kind of idols and stuff, but look at the latter part of that. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, this is a generational thing. And if you want to know what my house is going to do, I'm the head of it, and I've already chosen, we're going to serve the Lord. So, men, you can speak for your household. If you're a single mom, you can speak for your household. And God will honor that. He does. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So my subject tonight is I choose prayer. This is part two. Tonight I'm going to speak on the second law of prayer, the law of faith. Let us pray. Father, we choose you. We choose to know you. We choose to know you better. We choose to involve you in every situation in our life. And Lord, we choose to involve you in the battles of life, in the victories of life, in the issues of life. And Lord, in everything we encounter in life, we choose your involvement because we need to hear from you. And we want to praise you and we want to love you and just thank you that things in our lives are just the way they are because you can show yourself strong. Lord, we have families, we have homes, and some of them don't know you, but we thank you that they will because we believe it in our heart and we confess it with our mouth. You're a generational God. You said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that shall be saved in thy household. I believe that. And I thank you for it. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. The law of faith. There are laws that regulate the world of prayer. Prayer has been one of my conquests since I got saved. To know God. Because I realize if I come to know him through praying a prayer. And if I'm going to have God involved in everything in my life, I must talk to God. I must have fellowship. We must commune. And I've got to hear from God. So I'm going to list these prayers, these laws of prayer once again. Then I'm preaching a sermon on each one of them one by one. The first law is the law of humility. The law of humility. You have that, David? That is. Laws that regulate prayer. The law of humility. Secondly, the law of faith. Thirdly, the law of knowledge. And then when the fourth one comes up, the law of confession, that one is a powerful law. And I'll hit part of that tonight because it's hard to separate any of these, really. And then finally, the law of persistence. Have you stayed and have you prayed until you got your breakthrough? If not, you haven't prayed yet. You haven't finished your prayer is what I mean. You've prayed some, but you haven't finished your prayer. When God told Naaman through the prophet, dip 7 times in the muddy Jordan, 6 wouldn't do. He had to go down 7 times. God says 7 is 7. Whatever God says, you can count on it. Amen. So the laws of prayer, they regulate the world of prayer. And I've already spoken. You can go out and see it on live stream and YouTube or on the law of humility. But prayer is not something you just talk about. Prayer is something that you do. And prayer is something that you do as you humble yourself before God. I cannot approach God in arrogance. To fear the Lord means to humble yourself before God and to honor him. And I want to honor God because if I will seek God, then if I will seek his will and if I will seek his direction for my life, then I will find it. And so will you. So the law of prayer, let's look at that. Now, if you want to live in victory, you've got to think victory. You've got to confess victory. And you've got to believe in victory. You cannot believe that you're defeated and be a victorious person. You just cannot. You are who God said you are, and you can do what God said you can do if you will put your hand in the hand of Jesus Christ and walk with the Master. I'm going to talk a lot tonight out of the Scriptures, and I'm really going to let the Scriptures do my preaching for you. Me, basically. I'm going to let the word speak for itself. I'm going to give you part of Paul's revelation because there are not a whole lot of people who can do what I'm fixing to do tonight. That doesn't make me anybody special. It just means I've studied the subject. So I feel qualified to teach about this law called the law of faith. I've lived it out too. Amen. Look at this now. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, which is sickness, infirmity, and disease. That's what sin in your flesh is. The other sin is in your spirit, and you got to get born again. Okay. He did that, so look at verse 4. So that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's not in the notes there, but would you put Romans 8 and 1 up there, Brother David? This is Paul again, Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation, no guilt, no shame, no matter what you've done in your past, to them that are in Christ Jesus, comma, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, you're no longer fleshly minded. You're not living after the flesh. You're not living after sinful desires. You're not living on a low carnal nature. You prefer your brother above yourself. You prefer your sister above yourself. You love people like 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says. You've developed the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there's no law. You can have all that you want, all of the fruit. And so Paul, this master of the new creation realities, he's giving us who we are in Christ so we can obtain it by faith, this law I'm talking about, the law of faith, and so we can live it out. And the more you live it out, and the more I live it out, and the more the church lives it out, the more the world is going to desire Jesus Christ. They're going to see something in your life that's going to be like a magnet attracting them. I when I was in the business world, people say, how in the world can you have so much joy all the time? How is it you're always constant? You have the same problems we have. Why is it? I said, I know Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. I have Jesus' joy. He said he wanted his joy to remain and my joy to be full. I just took the Bible for what the Bible said. And I try to live it out and I come short because we all come short of the glory of God. But that doesn't disqualify you. There's no condemnation if you're in Christ. You just get up, confess your sin, keep on walking and pressing on toward the Spirit, growing in grace and knowledge. Now, the great theme of the New Testament is justification by faith. We're justified by faith in the blood of Jesus. And the great theme of the New Testament is the complete work of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you miss that, the devil will put you back under works. And what I'm going to show you tonight is a law that says you're not under a law of works, but you're under a law of faith through grace. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said if the law could have given life, then righteousness would have been by the law and your good living. How many of you fail like I have? Amen. We've all failed. See, the law could not bring life because the law brought the knowledge of sin. And sin brings what? Death. Now look at this, because Paul is beginning to unfold here and to reveal this subject I'm talking about tonight, the law of faith. This is some complicated stuff, and I've simplified it as much as I can, as much as within me, okay? Look at Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that by the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Do you believe? Yes. And you have faith. Amen. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Look at it. Shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. You didn't have any faith. Until God gave it to you, you didn't have a bit. The natural man does not have faith. I won't go there, but I'll give you part of it. People say everybody has a measure of faith. No, they don't. Sinners don't have the God-like faith. Paul said in Romans 12 and 3. Put Romans 12 and 3 up there. I will go there. Because I don't have to go but so far with this. I'm just trying to get something. Romans 12 and 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith, to every man among you, to every one of you in that Roman church. That's who he's talking to. He's not talking to the sinner, because the sinner does not have faith, saving faith, though he would be born again. He may have faith in something, but he doesn't have what you have. And that's what I want you to see. You have a supernatural power working inside of you. Not only the blood, but you have the Word of God, and you have a supernatural substance called faith, the law of faith, that's working in you if you will learn how to release it. That's my assignment tonight. Hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 23, Galatians 5:3-23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. It was our teacher to bring us to Christ that we might be justified, not by the law, but by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all children of God by faith. In whom? Christ Jesus. That is, you are saved because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You believed in his heart. He bore your sins. You confessed it with your mouth, and you were born again. Amen? Amen. So we see that salvation is by faith in Jesus and not by the keeping of the law. Now let's look some at Paul's letter, chapter 3 to the Romans, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law will do. It will let you know you are a sinner. It's your schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. You need a Savior. If you're not saved, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Well, the prophets talked about it. The law spoke of what was to come. Even, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, here it is, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, the Jews, they thought there was a difference. The Jewish people, they boasted because of the law. I'm of this tribe, and I'm of this, that tribe, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've never eaten any pork. Peter said, I've never eaten any of that. Unclean. God said, don't you call unclean what I've cleansed. We got some people in the church, they still think some people are unclean. But if God has saved them, they're not unclean. If God has justified them, they're all right in God's book. I remember when my wife got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost and we got ready to join the church, she said, Jared, nobody's wearing lipstick. Nobody has on earrings. Nobody has on makeup. Should I take it off? I said, no, I don't think so. I said, I don't think the Holy Ghost had a problem with it. I said, he baptized you with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I don't think you need to take off anything. Just put on faith. Put on Jesus. Hallelujah. That was the time that that thing needed to be addressed. She was a catalyst in the Lord's hands to free somebody, a lot of people, from the bondage of the law. You can put on lipstick or don't put it on. That's your business. Like my mother said, an old bond needs a little paint. Hallelujah. That's my joke for the evening. Hallelujah. But the Jews, they thought that the law, by keeping the law, that it gave them entrance into the miracle-working grace of God. Paul said, no. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified not by the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at Romans 3:27, because I want you to see where I got this term from, the law of faith. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Do you see that? The law of faith says that you are justified before God because you believe in the work of the cross. You're not under any condemnation. If you make a mistake, if you sin, all, you have an advocate with the Father. God is for you. Who can be against you? God loves you. God wants to restore you. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and say, get right back in that race there, child of God. The devil wants to condemn you. People in the church will condemn you if they don't have the heart of God. If they are under the law, they will. They'll put you right where they live. Under the law. They don't have any joy. They don't have any peace. They don't have any happiness. They're miserable. Because they think, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and I failed here and I failed there. Where is the boasting? In the law of faith. I believe in the finished work of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The church world needs to hear this message. Now, let me add a little bit, okay? Therefore, we conclude a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That does not mean that because of God's grace we can live in sin. A lot of people go in the wrong direction with this thing. No, it means that because of grace, we have been freed from sin, and we have been freed from the dominion of sin. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Things I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't want to go in there and smell that stuff. Amen. If God said, go in there and get them saved, I would say, okay, Lord. Hallelujah. That's my second joke for tonight. Hallelujah. But I remember one day I got a guy saved, and I found out he was in the pool hall. So I went in the pool hall to get him out. I said, hey, man, you can't be doing stuff like this. I said, you're born again. I said, you got the goods, and I know you got the goods. Well, I love pool. I said, well, buy yourself a pool table. That's my third joke. Put it at home. But I got him out of that, and when I got out, I got to thinking, I can just... See, I wasn't a pastor at that time. I was a lay preacher. But I could run that board to the Lord, and I wanted to keep him saved, too. And so I went in there and got him out, and I'm thinking later, I know somebody's going to come out and say, you know what? I saw Brother Jerry coming out of the pool hall. Wonder what he was doing in the pool hall. I was on a mission from the Lord. That's what I was doing in there. But you know, I did think it, and I hope nobody saw me, but if they did, what can I say? So, look at what Paul says. See, because we're not under the law, it doesn't mean that we should sin. Look at Romans 6 and 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that sin may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue therein any longer? I'm dead to it. I don't want to go there. I hope you don't have a want to go back to the clubs. If you do, you need to get into the altar and pray until that thing is out of you. I hope you don't have a want to go sleep around with somebody else's mate or to commit fornication or something like that. You have a natural desire, but if you've got lust in your heart, I tell you, it'll drive you there. You better pray until you get that out. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Know you not that whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? This is Paul's preaching right here. Amen. Look at Romans 6 and 6. Paul said, knowing this. This is key. Knowing this. Knowing what? Knowing this, that the old man of sin, that person you used to be, knowing this, that the old man of sin is crucified with him. Why, Paul? Why does that old man of sin have to be crucified? The answer, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. But he that is dead is free from this thing called sin. You died to the old man. You put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and holiness, and now you're living according to a law called the law of faith. And I'm going to tie it all together. If I have to fast forward, I will tie it all together. So, we have been freed from the law of sin and death by the law of faith. And even though we are free from the law of sin and death, If we're not careful, we will allow the devil to rob us of many of our blessings. How does the devil rob you of your blessing? He robs you by trying to put you back under the law of works. But the law of faith says, where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. Hallelujah. And so, grace, if grace much more abounds than sin, then I'm under the law of faith. I'm not under the law of sin and death. There is a higher law than the law of sin, and it's called the law of faith. And everything that we get from God, I promise you, it will come by faith. Not in your good works, even though we're to follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. That's what Paul preached. Paul preached the crucified life. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. This life I live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gives us a complete picture of the redemption of the cross. You will not find it in anyone else's letters. Only in the Pauline epistles will you find this revelational knowledge. So the higher law is the law of faith. And everything we get from God comes by faith. We are saved by faith and not by our good works. Look at Ephesians 2 and 8 and following. I want to free some people from the law. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Don't boast. God has dealt to every one of you that has saved among you the measure of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. God gave you the faith to be saved. It is the gift of God. Now, look at the next verse. For we are not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Whose workmanship? God's workmanship. How does he work on you? Through the preached word, through teaching, through you reading your Bible, through choosing prayer. I choose to serve God. I choose to know who I am because God paid heaven's best to redeem me. And I don't want to come up short of anything that I should have as a Christian. Paul said, oh, that I may know him. I met him, but I want to know him. He said, I knew a man that was caught up in the third heaven. He was getting to know him. God showed him some great things. But I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection. And then at the end of his journey in 2 Timothy, he said, for I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed. And through his knowledge of God and this law of faith and what he wrote to the churches, you and I can live in a great victory if we will get out from under the works of the law and get under the work and the law of faith. And very few Christians live there. Very few. They're saved. They're good people. They just don't know who they are. David put Galatians 3:29 up, please. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Are you Christ tonight? Amen. You're Abraham's seed, and everything that belonged to Abraham belongs to you. Every promise, everything that belonged to his heirs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were all wealthy. They all did pretty good. Amen. It belongs to you, whether you realize it or not. Now, yeah, reach out and get it. Now put the next Galatians 4:1, because I'm going to show you why people come up short. I didn't understand this verse for a long, long time. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. If you are immature in Christ, If you don't realize who you are through the promises of God, though you are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and every promise of God belongs to you, if you are a child, you are no different from a servant, though you are Lord of all. So that tells me that some people need to get into that Bible, start believing the word in their heart, confessing the word with their mouth, and find out who am I in Jesus Christ. Now this, I suppose, and I say that. Now I say. Steve, he's trying to get a point across that the heir, as long as that heir is a child, he differs nothing from a servant, though everything that belongs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords belongs to you. Every promise of God is yes and amen. But as long as you don't have enough faith in your heart to believe it and confess that that's who you are. Hey, Noah, how you feel out there? I don't feel good. This boat rocking back and forth. God told me to get in the boat. I'm seasick. These animals stink. I've been locked up in here 30 days. You ask me how I feel? Have you ever been in a storm? How do you feel? It doesn't feel good, does it? But I know whom I believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We're his workmanship. Look at Ephesians 2 and 8. For we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God before ordained that we should walk in them. See, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And we're made righteous by the blood of Jesus. David, look up 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now, you had no righteousness of your own. I had none. And God knew we had a tremendous dilemma. Look at this. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? The what? The righteousness of God? Do you mean that if I believe in Jesus, I'm made the very righteousness of God in Christ? That's what I want you to see. There's a law called the law of faith. You're the very righteousness of God. You're an heir and a joint heir. You are a child of God. You are who God said you are. You have what God says you have. And there's only one way you can get it. You got to know it, believe it in your heart, and confess it with your mouth. Amen. That's the law of faith. Hallelujah. I was in a place not too long ago, and a little young man, Josh Howell, he told me, he said, Brother Nelson, I will never forget you. Remember Josh? He had a terrible skin rash. He said, when I was a small boy, I had a skin rash, and you prayed for me, and God healed me. I had forgotten all about it, but he hadn't, because that skin rash was so bad that he hid from people. He didn't want to be seen. It was a defining moment in his life, because someone knew about the law of faith and touched him with the power of God. Now, the law of faith says it's all in Christ. It's not us, but we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, and we do his works. And so when you go out, you're not going out in your strength. You're going out in the strength of God. You might feel like a junkyard dog. I wasn't feeling too good this weekend. And we called, and Jessica called and said, Anna Lee went to school, and she's sick. This was on Monday morning. She said, she's sick. Had to bring her home from school. And I said, let me talk to her. Most of the time, kids that age won't listen to you too much, like some adults. But I said, listen to Grand Jerry. I'm going to help you. I said, Jesus is going to heal you. I'm going to pray for you. You're my seed. And because you're my seed, I can pray for you. And God will heal you. I said, will you work with Grand Jerry? She said, uh-huh. And I prayed for the little child. She got up next morning. She said, Mama, Mama, God heal me. Mama, God heal me. I'm healed. Give God a clap offering of praise. What did it? It was this law called the law of faith. Hallelujah. The law of faith. God said, don't you ever forget my benefits. Let me see how we're doing on time. Well, let me fast forward this thing. I'm going to put this in my sermon Sunday. You know, when Moses stood at the Red Sea, he lifted up that rod and commanded it to part. It had to part. Why did it have to part? Because God told him, you lift that rod up and part the sea. Can't you see this crazy man? White hair, blowing in the breeze, the wind's blowing. He's walking with a rod in his hand, a robe blowing. I command you to part. 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 It rolls back. It had no choice because God told him, what has God told you? He's operating in this law called faith. Everybody knows that you can't lift a rod and part the sea. Well, it depends whose hand is in. Amen. David goes out, his giant, with a rock and a rag, saying, you come at me with sword and spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven. This day shall he give you into my hands. And he let that rock go with famine. And the giant went down. What can you do with a rock and a rag? Well, it depends on whose hand it's in. It depends on what God has said to you. That's how faith works. What has God said to you? Hallelujah. Man was created to be governed by his spirit. He fell into sin, and when he did, his spirit died. And he ended up being governed by his soul, his mind, his will, and his emotion, and not by his spirit. That's why Jesus had to come. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:45. As it is written. See, Paul's writing all this stuff. As it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, that's who he is, was made a life-giving spirit. And if you tap in by faith, you can tap into the life of God. Words, words, words. What are words? What can a word do? Well, it depends on whose word it is. What will God's word do? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? See, God is concerned about your body. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body was not made for fornication. Let me preach a little while. It was not made to drink liquor. It was not made to hold cigarettes. It was not made to take dope. It is not your own body to do with as you please. You are bought with a price, and you're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, here's the interesting thing. The body was made to glorify God, and it's been bought with a price. The Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. So look at how important the body is. God prepared a body for his son. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John said, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, Jesus has been raised from the dead with a glorified body that's free from sin. Totally free from sin. And one day we'll get one of those. We haven't gotten that yet. So now, that's a law called the law of faith. And everything you get from God, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to have to lay hold of eternal promises by believing them in your heart, confessing with your mouth. You're going to have to lay hold of healing. Lay hold of deliverance. Lay hold of sanctification. Lay hold of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lay hold of the gifts of the Spirit by believing them. I've got a little thing in my pocket right here. T.L. Lowry is in heaven. You got one of these, brother, going out to get the other group right now. But I was in his meeting one night. He said, "You want faith? This is a man fixing to go to heaven. You want more of God? Go after it." He threw that thing, man. I ran out and loaded my pockets full of. I didn't wait for somebody else to get up and run. And now I got a little something bothering my body. T.L. Lowry, Global Foundation, impartation. I said, I got my impartation that night. How did I get it? By the law of faith. I just believe that if I would run and get that thing from that man of God, that he was anointed and I could get that anointing. I recognized something that he had that I wanted. And I went running after it. I didn't know I would need it. Well, I picked it up the other day and put it in my pocket and said, "By its stripes, I'm healed." Hallelujah. That's the law of faith working right there. Now, let's look at Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. I'm going to see if I can bring this thing to a close. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach." I'm preaching faith to you right now. "The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach." Next verse. "That if thou shalt believe, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now look at that. So with the heart man believes, or man has faith, unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The same thing is true with healing. The same thing is true with any promise of God. The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. The Lord requires faith in order for you to be saved. The Lord requires faith in order for you to be healed. It's called the law of faith. What I'm preaching about. When I was saved, I confessed Jesus as my Lord while the stain of sin was still on my breath. I said, "I believe he saved me." I told him I was sorry for the way I had lived. And I asked Jesus to come in my heart and wash me in his precious blood. And I believe he's done it. And I'm saved. And what I believed in my heart, it never happened till I confessed it with my mouth. So faith believes and faith confesses what has not yet been received. Faith receives healing the same way you receive salvation. Before there is any physical evidence in your body, faith says, "I'm healed." Amen. What does it base its confession on? What God says in the Word. The Lord requires faith so he can heal you. He doesn't require just words. He requires words of faith. So many Christians miss this. If you can ever get this law I'm talking about, get a hold of it, it will revolutionize your entire world. I promise you. It's called the law of faith. You've heard me say it hundreds of times. Faith must be in two places. It must be in your heart, and it must be in your mouth. With the heart, man believes unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto it. The miracle was in your mouth. Many of you believed long time before you got saved. You just never believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth, "I'm saved." The miracle of the finished work of God through the cross was in your mouth. You just hadn't put it there. And that's how you get anything from God. See, the law of faith says it's so when it's not so, so it can be so because God said it's so. That's my definition of faith. Faith says it's so when it's not so, so it can be so because God said it's so. In other words, faith believes in its heart, and then faith confesses with its mouth. Faith says it's so even though it's not so. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. That baffles people's mind. And you will not get what I am talking and preaching tonight with a cursive reading. It will take hours and hours of meditation. It will take communion with God. It will take you seeking him way into the hours of the early morning sometime. It might take all night prayer to get that victory. But whatever it takes to get the revelation that God wants you to have, I encourage you to seek him. That's why I choose prayer. Now, the law of faith says you must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Now, put Romans 10 and 8 up there. I want you to see this because I've used most everything I've used tonight has been out of the Pauline epistles. You will not get this law of faith anywhere else. He went through what he went through because of God chose him. And God said, you're going to suffer some great things for me. But he never let that stop him from knowing God. He was a Christian killer. He had persecuted the saints. But God chose this man who was chief of sinners to unveil the New Testament, new creation realities to us. And Paul knew it. He had had a Damascus Road experience. He'd been caught up in the third heaven. He'd been shown some things. He said, it's not even lawful that I tell you about them. Now look at Romans 10 and 8. The word is nigh thee. You have a word for what you're praying and asking God for? If you don't, I got a book in my office. I'll autograph it and date it. It's got the promises of God. If I want something from God, I get all his promises and I write them down. And I start getting them in my spirit, and then I start confessing them with my mouth. My wife can tell you, on the way to the hospital the other day, she was driving. I said, by his stripes, I'm healed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. When enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. I'm dead to sin. I live under righteousness. By his stripes, I'm healed. I said, I'm not going to forget any of your benefits, Father. I believe your word. I believe it in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth. I believe healing is the children's bread. I'm your child. I thank you I'm healed. Hallelujah. And I'm just riding down the road confessing the word of God. Well, what am I going to do? Have a pity party and let the devil lord it over me? I don't think so. I have dominion, chronos, over the devil. I have dunamis, power, over the devil. I have exousia, authority, over the devil. And I don't plan to live short of anything God has ever purposed for my life. Got a good praying church too that was praying for me. But what good would it be for you to pray for me if I didn't believe in my heart and confess with my mouth? Amen. The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is nigh thee. Look at your neighbor and tell him, the word is nigh thee. Even in thy heart and in thy mouth, that is the word of faith which we preach. So there's a law called the law of the spirit of faith. So to operate in this law of faith, you get God's promise in your heart. Then you confess God's promise with your mouth. The miracle is in your mouth if you believe the word in your heart. It's just that simple. So don't let your miracle lie dormant or inactive. You've got to believe it in your heart and then you've got to confess it. Because I'm not going to say that. I'm sick. I'd be lying. Well, who's a liar? The sickness, God says, by his stripes you're healed. God is not a man that he should lie. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? So you're just going to have to decide, are you going to live and be controlled by the world and the carnal things? Or are you going to live your life and be controlled by the law of faith? Hallelujah. Don't let your miracle lie dormant. See, I don't want to just believe in salvation. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in healing. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in prosperity. I want to get unto it. Amen. You think I would ever get there if I never gave? Do you think you will get that? By disobeying God's word, not believing it enough in your heart to do it and to speak and say, I paid my tithe. Praise God, my blessing's on the way. Amen. I obeyed God. I know it's coming. God is a God of increase. What I couldn't do, praise God, I took what I had. I put it in His hand. I can't wait to see what God's going to do for me. Hallelujah. He's going to rebuke the devil, and where I've been having this problem, that thing's going to disappear. Because I believe it in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth. And all of a sudden, you're operating in another law. It's called the law of faith. Pastor Ricky. See, I choose prayer because I choose to get God involved in all the equations of my life. I choose to read my Bible as part of prayer. I choose to obey my Bible as part of prayer. I choose to petition the Father. That's part of prayer. Unto thee, O Lord, put Psalms 25, verse 1 up there one more time, David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I turn my mind, my will, and my emotions to you, Lord, because I am determined to please you. Oh, one law of faith. Put Hebrews 11, 1 up, David. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It goes right along. Paul wrote that, by the way, too, my opinion. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So faith is not just for you. Faith pleases God. God wants you to use your faith. God wants you blessed. God wants me blessed. God wants us healed. God wants us to prosper. God wants us all saved. God wants our families saved. He's a good God. He loves us. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You've got to use your faith. You've got to believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Hallelujah. Lay hold of it. You must believe God is. You must believe He is a rewarder. Them that say it, Brother Ray. He's a reward of them that just come to church once in a while? No. Those that just sing on the praise team? No. Those that preach sermons? No. Those that lift their soul up and diligently seek Him? That's who He rewards. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to operate in this law of faith. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
There is none like you.
Hallelujah. That's Brother Paul's preaching right there. Hallelujah.
Touch my heart like you do.
Let's worship Him. Say, Lord, thank you for this law, the law of faith. That I live under that umbrella. Because I believe in my heart and I confess Jesus with my mouth. And you've given me this thing. I am who you said I am. I have what you said I have. I can do what you said I can do. And I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Master, I love you, I love you, I love you.
There is none.